There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And you might need to be as we get started with this Tuesday edition of Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all, this is Sean. And next couple hours, you and I got a lot to talk about. The phone number and the text line the same, 343-0106. 343-0106, the same as it's been for all these years, which will be 15 years tomorrow. It's our 15th, 15 years of doing FM Talk 106.5. So pretty exciting. We'll talk about more of that on tomorrow's show or maybe later in today's show. Also, if you want to leave a talkback message, that's a thing you can do by going to the FM Talk 106.5 app, which is free and waiting for you over at Google Play for Android users or the App Store for iOS users. Just look for FMTALK 106.5. You'll see our logo. That's the app. It's free. Download it. Lets you stream the station. Get our great social media feeds with breaking news. Leanna putting that out throughout the day and night. You can also get traffic maps, weather information, show schedules. And while you're there, you can text, call, or leave one of those talkback messages. Just a few of the things going on with the FM Talk 106.5 app. All right. So, like I mentioned to Jeff at the end of his show, if you didn't catch it, so I was talking to Jeff Poore as he ended his show. And I have spent the better part, the lion's share, to the point of not being able to do much else in the office today, of watching the Mobile City Council's pre-council meeting. Now, the council meeting right now, we're going to be watching if a decision's made on firing, if the council says they're going to fire Chief Prine. But the backstory of this and what happened in pre-council meeting today, I think, was very, very interesting. Well over an hour of a pre-council meeting. We're going to go to different clips from throughout the meeting, and there's a lot of people in this. We'll try to identify who's talking in the different segments and let you listen to this and, of course, get your reaction this hour. So we'll go to this, and let's start off. This is the pre-council meeting. This is hours ago, I think around 10 this morning, and after a few housekeeping things that were announced, Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson steps up to talk about the what I mentioned with Jeff, the sending of a asking the Attorney General to investigate what's going on here in Mobile. This is Mayor Stimson from earlier this morning.
And what it entailed. The first time Prine raised that concern was during the exit interview, the day that we were sitting down to talk about him retiring. Immediately, I ordered an investigation to be conducted by Burr Foreman, who was using their white-collar attorneys to look into it. While that investigation was being conducted, I also charged the City of Mobile's Office of Professional Responsibility to conduct a second investigation. Both of those investigations are complete now. The two investigations were independent of each other. But they came to the same conclusion. Nothing illegal or outside city policy occurred. Further, I've heard your voice, heard the voices of the citizens, like you have, President, Mr. President, as well as the voices of the City Council. And I'm aware that many are not satisfied with who conducted these investigations. Therefore, in the interest of full transparency and to help restore the public trust and confidence, I've directed the city attorney to send all investigative materials and reports to the Attorney General. He's actually done that this morning. Everything that we have having to do with the allegations regarding these contracts has already been set. I have full confidence in the Attorney General Steve Marshall's office to provide a thorough and independent review of these allegations. There is no higher investigative authority in the state of Alabama than the Attorney General. And regarding hiring another firm, another set of eyes to look at this, anyone without prosecutorial powers to look into this is just an opinion to add to the mix and only further drags this out. I hope this will satisfy the desire of the public as well as the city council to have an independent investigation at this time. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
All right. So that's the opening salvo there from the mayor. So he's sending this and has sent this to the Attorney General's office. Then soon thereafter, if I have my audio correct in time, here's Mobile City Councilman Josh Woods asking about that.
Mr. President, so just in full scope and full transparency of everything, that information's already made it to the Attorney General's office.
Electronically, it's been sent.
And then you've talked to the Attorney General?
I have not.
Okay. No. Okay. So, But
we reached out to him and told him yesterday that we were going to be doing this.
And then I guess kind of we need to just express the, I guess, for the sake of moving forward to you know, full transparency that, you know, sooner the better that they can review this and take a look, I guess. That would just be my ask.
Sooner
the better that they get an opportunity to look at this.
I don't know how the Attorney General's office, you know, works, but that's really in their court. But he understands, I think, the political situation that we're involved in. And so we're hopeful that that he can do what he does and keep that in mind.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. So now this has been sent to the Attorney General's office, and the questioning then bounces from other members of the council. I know Councilman Penn was speaking on this and talking about the two reports. And then it for more clarity here, the mayor was asked a couple of questions. He said, for more clarity, let's bring in the city attorney, Ricardo Woods. So at this point, Ricardo Woods steps in.
So what we did, Mr. President, was two separate parallel reports, so investigations and then subsequent reports. The investigators were not talking to each other. They weren't sharing notes. They weren't sharing information. So each one of them was given the scope of looking at it from an internal standpoint and then looking at it from an external standpoint and allow all of the information and access to witnesses, documents, and the like. And so I think probably the best thing would be for if should the mayor say, look, give these reports over, especially to the council, then for me to give them to Mr. Linder. And then because there's some information that's going to be redline information, phone numbers, things of that sort that will need to be redacted. And then the council do what you will with them. But I think it's best that you all have all of the information to be able to make a decision.
Attorney Woods, did each report investigate the same thing?
Same scope, but not the exact same thing, because you allowed the investigators to take the investigation under their own will. So each one was looking at an internal scope of whether or not any policies or laws had been violated. And then the other was looking at whether the contract was legal and followed city policy. So there is some overlap, but it's not coordination. And we specifically had dual and parallel separate investigations to make sure that you're coming to a logical conclusion. And neither one of them found anything that was illegal or out of step with policy. But that being said, all of the investigative materials and all of the findings have been submitted to the Attorney General's office. It'll go electronically and via hard copy.
Well, I'm glad that you're sharing that information now. I'm valuing the submitting to the Attorney General, but I wish we would have had this information before today. And the reason why is because we have there's a lot of things on this agenda to vote on. And I joined in with President Small that I was prepared to vote on this resolution today. And if not, if I wasn't voting on all these things, then there's certain things that I just wasn't going to support. And because I wanted to see an investigation. So to hear this information today, I'm glad that it's taking place, but I just wish we would have received it a little earlier. Thank you, Mr. President.
Sure. And I can tell you that the investigations were not complete. until just yesterday. So they weren't complete until just yesterday.
Ms. Gregory.
Okay, that was Councilman Penn speaking. Now, Councilwoman Jeannie Gregory asking another question of City Attorney Ricardo Woods.
Of clarification, what you're talking about in these investigations, explain again what they were looking at, because we, as Councilman Penn said, we've heard reports, but what were they looking at, the contracts that they were looking at specifically?
Sure. So both are focused on the 321Z Insights contract. One focuses more on the city's policy from start to finish. So that's the entire routing process, whether or not it went to legal, whether or not it went to finance, whether or not the funds were there, whether or not the appropriate memos were filled out, whether or not it was on the council agenda for the requisite amount of time. It goes through those processes. And that's the OPR, more internal. Same substance of the investigation, but not necessarily the same pathway. The outside counsel investigation looks at the legality of whether or not there's an ethics issue, or whether or not there's a fraud issue, or whether or not there's a breach of contract or some personal gain. And goes through that process. And then also there's some overlap with whether or not the council voted on it, whether or not it went through the proper departmental processes, and who knew what when, based on the information that we were able to gather.
Okay. This, none of that was focused on anything but that. So anything dealing with chain of command issues or other grievances that we've all heard about, that was not included in that.
None of the personnel issues were dealt with. They might have been peripheral, but that was not the focus of what we're dealing with. Those HR and personnel issues, that was not the focus of either one of these parallel reports or investigations.
All right. So that, listen, the drama picks up here soon, but just getting some of the... So this is what the city council that would be tasked with firing Chief Prine, the questions they were asking of city officials from the executive branch today. And who gets to investigate when? Are we doing too many investigations? Are we wasting time and money with this? Those questions come up in a big way in the next couple segments when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, get right back into the audio here from today's pre-council meeting. As the city council today might be deciding whether to fire Chief Prine, but so many other questions, like I've talked about in so many interviews we've done here about this, there's like a core, and then there are different subjects orbiting around that core question here of Chief Prine. Chief Prine's not going to be the police chief. I mean, he's already said that that's not happening, but what about what led up to this? Terry says, dear mayor, being legal doesn't mean it's ethical. And you heard Councilman Gregory, she brought that up, Terry, are we talking about questions of whether it was legal? And then on top of that, what about these HR issues and all? There's a lot more to this, right? Adam said, so the city department did an investigation and Burr and Foreman did one too, and they are the city's law firm. Ricardo works for Burr and Foreman. Yeah, Ricardo Woods works for Burr and Foreman. Now we have sent this to the AG's office. That's what they're getting into this morning. So Attorney General Steve Marshall has been, I guess you heard the mayor say, electronically, so they emailed or whatever, sent it to the Attorney General's office. Now, that's part of the conversation. And then we get into, well, should there be yet another investigation by counsel before you get something rendered back from the Attorney General? You know, the Attorney General wouldn't come in and rule on personnel issues. It would have to be something bigger than that. And that is, Councilman William Carroll talks about that, starts that conversation right here.
Mr. Carroll. First of all, I commend you guys for going to the Attorney General. I wish you would have told the council that. I think in my mind that's somewhat of an error, done without us knowing and done under your own control. The mayor has stated that an investigation was done by Burr Furman. To me, that's in-house. You're employed by Burr Foreman, a managing partner.
Okay, there's a difference.
I hear you, but still in-house. All the information that was sent to them on 321, it came from in-house, but sent directly to them from the administration. Council doesn't know what you sent. You sent it to us after the fact. plus there are other items in the resolution that call for an investigation. The council, you know, doesn't know what you said. Therefore, you have controlled the scope of what you wanted investigated by sending it to the Attorney General and sending him basically what you wanted him to see. Therefore, not sending it possibly what the community wants to see and the rest of the council may want to see. So the scope has been dictated by the administration and not by this council, who's calling for an independent investigation, basically from somebody totally outside and totally not attached to this administration, meaning no one that has touched or seen this, someone who is truly independent. There's no way, as I've told you before, even going through the process of an election cycle and the Attorney General having two opinions to choose to end an election and chose to use the latter to continue an election, but there was also an opinion that said the election should be over. So I don't trust that either, should I remind you in the administration how that happened. So I don't trust that, and I don't trust what I can't see and what hasn't been seen and what hasn't been given to us before it was sent. I'm with CJ and Corey. If we don't pass this today, I'm not going to support other stuff on this agenda.
Mr. President.
Mr. Reynolds.
As I stated before, I mean, that's why it absolutely makes sense to, well, I appreciate y'all's desire or whatever to you know, be hard-headed about what this says. We hadn't discussed the scope of this at all. I mean, this is so broad and general that now that is the resolution regarding the investigation. It says improper administration of the police department. That's what we're going to investigate. Improper according to who? You know, so this can be used as some political tool or whatever. I mean, you know, this has the ability to just totally get out of hand and be weaponized and everything else. We need to have a discussion about this before we agree to go into some investigation. So I'm not saying I object to some, you know, additional investigation or whatever, but as it's written right now, I mean, it's so broad and general that, you know, it's very important who does the investigation and what their lean is. And, you know, if they're looking to poke a finger in the mayor's eye or poke finger in Prine's eye, or, you know, I mean, all that stuff's important and it needs to be discussed before we vote on it. So, like I said, if this comes up for a vote today, then I can't accept it the way it's written.
Mr. President.
All right. So you've heard that as Councilman Ben Reynolds commenting on this as well. How many investigations are we going to do here? Right. That's a fair question that's coming up. How many investigations, and get into it. If we're looking for something that would be criminal here, is there a reason for the council to do one more investigation here if it's already in the hands of the AG's office? Because it would, you know, if something was found here at this level, then it would be kicked to the AG's office anyway, right? So why do it twice? We'll come back. Councilman Joel Daves speaks about that. Also, we get into a conversation here that goes, a debate, really, between Councilman William Carroll. Starts talking about, before that, we'll get into the shut. No, before that, it'll be a Councilman Carroll and Chief of Staff Rob Lasky talking about this. And I think it's pretty interesting what comes out here. Now, there are politics. If you can't hear them, you got to turn your volume up. There's politics, and I think that's what Councilman Reynolds was talking about as well. There's what the people want, right? They're saying the people want more investigation, but the scope of that investigation, how much of this is about getting to the bottom of what happened or didn't happen here with Chief Prine, and how much of this is to do with the politics of mayoral cycle in the future. So we'll get into that. And also the discussion of ShotSpotter. I think some questions we brought up here on this show come up in this pre-council meeting. Once again, the council is meeting. I have not seen any update here on whether they've made a decision one way or another. They're talking at the end of the pre-council meeting to table the decision on Chief Prine. Of course, Chief Prine, this is all kind of clerical because he's not coming back as police chief, but are they going to fire him now or later? We do know from John Sharp's reporting down there that a kid from University of South Alabama came in the middle of all this and started talking about Gaza. Wanted to get in on board, I guess, what they were doing in Colombia when he was escorted out. We'll get right back to it. News coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
My 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hey y'all. By the way, tomorrow, yeah, 15 years for this radio station. Cool stuff. It's been well beyond that when I first met my buddy Clint Jameson from Adventure Earth Bicycles. I used to be like the producer, run the slides here on the board for a show he did years ago. And he was already back then into bicycling big time and running and doing triathlon stuff. And he's never let up on the bicycle thing. He's got his own shop, Adventure Earth Bicycles, where I told you I got my e-bike now, I guess, 2 years ago. And it's been really a big part of my life with my e-bike. And one thing that's cool, too, you think about the reasons for e-bikes. I talk about how it makes me ride more often, right, and longer because of that. You can ride it completely with electric, but I use like a boost mode. It just helps you on the parts of the bike ride that aren't fun. And if you got joint issues, right, like if you're trying to get exercise, but you got arthritis or joint issues in your knees or whatever, and the grind up a hill is painful, you don't have that with an e-bike. You just get the fun of riding, and you get out, and you do get the exercise, and you don't not get on the bike because of the pain it causes. And also, if you're thinking about Mother's Day coming up, and you should be, Mother's Day Day sale going on right now at Adventure Earth Bicycles. All their adult three-wheelers, cruisers, and e-bikes for mom are on sale. They just got a new shipment of Denago e-bikes, Jamis Earth Cruisers, and the Sun three-wheelers. Perfect thing for mom. Just received also a shipment of the electric three-wheelers. A few were pre-sold, but he said he's got a couple that are going on the floor for sale. They're not going to last long, so you need to stop by and check those out if that's the right choice for mom for Mother's Day. Denago folding and cargo e-bikes have arrived. Those are the great ones for the RV or the campers, right, that fold up small so you can put them in the camper, get to the campsite, get the camper set up, and then you get on your e-bike and go get groceries, go around town, whatever you're going to do with them. Those are really popular as well. And the Mother's Day, big Mother's Day sale promotion right now is the Fuji Sanibel e-cruiser. You need to go just Google this one, see what it looks like, or better yet, see them in person. Really a cool bike for mom. Regular $1,500 right now on sale for the Mother's Day sale for $999. This goes on at Adventure Earth Bicycles right there at the corner of Little Flower and Airport. Kind of catty-cornered across from Bruce Chris. See them in person is the best way to do it, but you can go online to adventure-earth.com or give them a call at 478-1000. But go see my buddy and ask for Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. See the e-bike that I got all those years ago and see all the different e-bikes in stock now and find the right one for you. All right, we'll get back into this audio. And by the way, Ricky, I'm not, you know, even though we're talking about something completely different, I am seeing your text after text of anti-Semitic text coming in here. It's something. Ricky, would you go, do you agree then with like the protesters? Ricky, would you go to the tent camp up at Columbia and get in the, do the hacky sack and drum circle thing and all that and hang out with those folks up there? Is that your jam? But yeah, this, I don't know where you get so many memes, but there's a bunch of them. All right, get back to the conversation we're having about what went on in the Mobile City Council pre-council meeting today leading up to the meeting that's going on right now and how they will vote, if at all, about firing Chief Prine. But there's a whole nother part of this, right? That's the center of it. The whole other part of it are investigations being done, and now this is being handed up to the Attorney General's office. So it goes into the world of Attorney General Steve Marshall. When that report would come back, if they will take it up, that was addressed by the mayor. He did not have a timeline on that. Let's go to a question here from Councilman Joel Daves. He brings in, I think, some thoughtful questions here about why do this? Why do, if you've already had the Attorney General doing it, why do a separate investigation as well? Here's Joel Daves.
Resolution that's before us. So they break down into two kind of categories. One is illegal or unethical conduct, and the rest are administrative issues. The rest are administrative issues. If we're going to investigate illegal or unethical conduct, we get to the end, we have no prosecutorial ability, we have no power to investigate, we can do nothing with that afterwards except turn it over to someone who has prosecutorial authority. So why not turn it over now to the people that have prosecutorial authority and let them do the investigation? And the rest of it are administrative matters. We don't have any control over administrative matters. The second point I'd like to make is there's been a great clamor, outcry for investigation. After the events of last summer, there was a great clamor and outcry for an investigation of the police department. So we did that. We hired a third party individual to come in and do a clean investigation of the police department and presented his report. Has that quieted any of the concern on either side? Those opposed to the police department, those in favor of the police department, those who asked for the resolution, those who didn't want the resolution. Has it quieted any of those concerns? No, it hasn't. We launched an investigation. We'll be tied up for months doing the investigation. It'll cost God knows what. We'll get to the end of it, and we'll be exactly where we are today. The people who support the administration will continue to support the administration. People who support Prine will continue to support Prine. The people who are aggrieved former employees will continue to be aggrieved former employees. And the people who are political opponents of the administration will continue to be political opponents of the administration. I believe the whole thing is an exercise in futility. If we feel that there is wrongdoing, we need to turn it over to people who have the resources and the ability to investigate.
I got to tell you, at that point, Attorney General, about turning it over, Councilman Joel Days, what he said there about there not really being a change of opinion after this, whatever side of this you line up on, I think I agree with Councilman Joel Days that you could have whatever report come out or internal investigation comes out and the opinions are not going to change. People aren't going to say, oh, well, you know. So I think he makes a fair point. Now, later on, so he makes a point there and asks about the amount of money, right, that we'll be continuing to spend here on doing this, maybe with no actual any change in opinion, any change in information out there. Then about three or four minutes later, City Councilman William Carroll chimes in on this, and he says he doesn't care about the amount of money or the people need the information.
He can look at whatever he wants to, I guess.
We could in no way limit the scope of the Attorney General's investigation if the Attorney General decided to investigate. I would presume they would go wherever the evidence led them.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Here's Councilman Carroll.
But it's his decision to go beyond what scope is. Let's be clear that it is his decision to go beyond where the scope is.
Or indeed not to go anywhere at all.
That is exactly what I'm saying, which still leaves us blank and blinded with the lack of knowledge that the public has, and the public trust is still out there. In my mind, even asking for this tells the public, we want to skip over what you want. We don't want the council to do. You don't want the council to do this. Skip over the council and let's do what we want so that we can bypass this situation. That's what I see you telling the public right now by even trying this action. The cost of this and what it may cost over 90 days is, I think, purely speculation. We don't know what it's going to cost right now. So to say we're going to spend millions, that's just another way to cry foul to scare the public into saying we're spending too much money. I don't care what it costs. The truth in public trust is worth more than the cost right now, and the public deserves that. The other thing is that I wonder how much did we pay Byrne Furman and all the attorneys to do this investigation that you just did? That had a cost. Nobody's talking about that. All the other stuff that we just did had a cost. Nobody's talking about that. Lasky and his investigation and the OPR, that's still the administration giving information. That is still us, and it still encumbers the public trust. There is nothing better than having a true outside source. I don't know if it was you or not. I just remember saying the office of OPR, that's where you used to be. So if it wasn't you or whoever it is now, it's still the administration. And this isn't a finger pointing contest here. This is us, the council, the city council of the city of Mobile, deliberately wanting to reestablish the public trust through a truly transparent process. And then skipping over a truly transparent process without the public knowing what we're doing, just sending it off, is just another way to get around it. I don't like it. Let me say this. I don't know where everybody else is, but if we don't pass this today, I will not be voting to fire the police chief.
Now, I thought that was of note there. that the vote to fire the police chief wouldn't happen with different members, but specifically there with Councilman Carroll, unless they have the chance to do the investigation themselves versus it just being put through the Attorney General's office. Even though after Councilman Joel Days makes a point that says, what will change after this? What will change? Why not just wait for the AG to do this? Probably 4 minutes later or so, and we'll get to another clip, Councilman William Carroll commenting on this as well. And you heard from Josh Woods, heard from Ben Reynolds. Sounds like they had questions about whether they would be yes votes to fire Chief Prine as well. We don't know what has happened yet with council meeting. We're watching this. Let's go to this later on. This is once again Councilman William Carroll.
Go in executive session and ask your questions,
Mr. President. I'd like to draw the attorney to an article printed by AL today, dated October 13, 2023, where Chief Prine noted that he had called the FBI and the Department of Justice to investigate violent encounters with the police captured on cell phones, and that he called this investigation. It was reported widely by USA Today and the other news carriers in the city of Mobile. So if we call for it, or he called for it, again, I mean, this is a clear picture. This is a clear picture how either this administration has called for something or said they were going to do something, or it wasn't done, or it was done, or the information given, you know, wasn't enough information to move forward with anything. This is why a third party investigation is needed. I asked you for it. You don't know anything about it.
I don't.
So therefore, yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. And at this point, Rob Lasky steps in. If I think you got the audio right. So at this point, Rob Lasky stepping in and answering questions that were leveled right there by City Councilman William Carroll.
I believe what you're talking about is after each event, the police department told the FBI and provided them about the incident and provided them with all the documentation that they had with respect to the incident. The FBI, again, is not going to be constrained by what is given them. They see the press. They see what the department is giving them. They will ask for additional information. Okay. Now, just so you know, a civil rights investigation is basically managed out of Maine Justice down out of the DOJ. They have their own attorneys that can never close. So they will not be constrained of what information. If they want more information, they will ask for it. They will get it. They can do it. So what investigations are currently pending within DOJ or not pending with DOJ, only DOJ can answer. Okay. They are aware of all six incidents. They have been provided with everything to ask for on all six incidents. Okay. Waiting. They don't come out with a report. They either come out with prosecution or they move on. Okay. They don't let anybody know. So it's up at DOJ. Just because you haven't heard anything does not mean it's been investigated. In the insinuation that we only gave them what they wanted and they took only what we gave them is asinine, because they are going to get what they want to get, period. They have that power, whether it's by subpoena or voluntarily.
My problem here is that the head legal counsel for the city of Mobile had no idea what I was talking about. Again, it leads to the fact of a lack of transparency.
I'm not arguing.
What I'm simply stating is these are the types of concern that are driving public trust. That is why there's no trust out there. We say one thing, but people throughout the department, throughout the city, the head legal counsel couldn't even answer the question. This is why the council needs to move forward with this. I'm not arguing with you. I'm not going to argue with you. But and I have others. I have others. So I'm not even going to go there today. But this is just not something we need to argue about.
But let me say one thing. DOJ is not going to come into a voluntary investigation. They're either going to do a criminal investigation or they're not.
And there you go. So the back and forth there between City Councilman William Carroll and Director of Public Safety and the OPR Director Rob Lasky about this investigation. What I have seen now, and we have some word coming, this is coming from John Sharp over on X, said the Mobile City Council is holding off for the time being on a vote to terminate the police chief. They are meeting shortly in a committee to discuss an investigation into Chief Paul Prine's allegations about the Bears administration. They'll break for lunch, and then they'll reconvene. So there you go. So what was happening in that pre-council meeting, the discussion we've heard this hour, it just showed up during the council meeting, didn't it? They are holding off for the time being on that vote. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, I got a crazy idea. You know what would save us all this drama and all this money is, hey, criminals, quit criminaling it. Quit doing your criminal thing, and you wouldn't be here. But no chance of that happening. So, here we are. As the news coming out here in the last just couple minutes here, that Mobile City Council has held off now for the time being. This from John Sharp over on Twitter or X. Mobile City Council holding off for the time being on the vote to terminate the police chief. They're meeting shortly in a committee to discuss an investigation into Chief Paul Prine's allegations about the mayor's administration. They'll break for lunch, and then they'll reconvene. Let's convene on some of these texts here at 343-0106. This texter says, the report I see was biased and was meant to get rid of Chief Prine. If there's nothing criminal in the report, then why send it to the AG? The ethics is going to lie at the top, the three big dogs. And why did the city have the major's email to the PD taken down? Yeah, that's what you're talking about, texter. Saw that. I saw Brad Gunther's story over at MyNBC 15, WPMI. Said city leaders recalled email from Mobile PD major critical of the Kenyon Brown report. Said Mobile city officials confirmed NBC 15 News that the original email sent from Major Philip McQuarrie to members of MPD last Wednesday was recalled and removed from inboxes less than an hour after it was sent. According to an email provided to NBC 15 News, the message was sent at 11:06 a.m. Mobile Communications Director Candace Cooksey said that after the discussions between Chief of Staff James Barber, Director of Public Safety Rob Lasky, and Interim Police Chief Randy Jackson concerning the possibility of an officer being identified in the letter, the email was removed from inboxes by the administration at 12:04 p.m. Hey, Dalton, can we do that? Can we just remove from him? I like that. The same email was sent a second time at 2:56 p.m. and remained in departmental inboxes after, quote, further conversation between the officers named in the message and their legal advisor, end quote. The email does not identify any officer by name, only referring to them as an MPD command officer. So, texter, there's what came out of that and that report from NBC 15. This texter, unnamed texter, said, I support both Mayor Stimson and Chief Prine, both sides. I just want the truth to come out where the problems are. Did the mayor and staff do an end run on the council? Why didn't they include the council? Did they not know they wanted their own investigation and doing this was going to cause a problem? Transparency? Well, who you are, texter, but that first sentence I'm 100% with, too. I support both. I support my city being as good as it can be. Right? It's what ends up making the best Mobile? That's what I want. Let's see here. Joshua said, William Carroll comments a lot but doesn't say anything. Well, he said to Lasky he wasn't going to debate him. Did you hear that? That was almost like, that's that moment. Like, where I only get into it with my children. Like, we're not debating this. We're not this. So you heard that. That seemed pretty tense out there. Mr. Plott says, man, what this is about is these elected officials locally that just want to pass it off to somebody else so they don't have to deal with it. I mean, it goes all the way up to the governor. Like when she wanted to let the unelected health official, you know, just create our COVID policy out of whole cloth. And now we're going to give it to the attorney general. You know, we're not going to tell anybody else what's going on. We're just going to hand it to him and let him do whatever he wants. This is ridiculous. What are we voting for anyway, brother? There you go. So, don't know, but Joel Daves makes a point there. I I'm with you, but Joel Daves makes a point. Councilman Daves makes a point when he says, will doing another internal investigation right change any opinion out there? I don't know that it would. And if there's, if they would find in their investigation something that was criminal, they would have to kick that to the AG's office anyway. So is it worth doing this? Maybe, or maybe not. Damn Yankee says, my takeaway question is, why is the MPD under such scrutiny when it sounds like as if no laws have been broken? And, you know, Damn Yankee, that came out in Kenyon Brown's report. Was it last week? About a week ago, I think, when they read through it and he went through each part of this and said, but, you know, here are the problems, but nothing. And I keep tripping over illegal. I think there's some other word they use in these cases was done. And yes. In addition here, Chris says, Chris in Orange Beach says, I said it 3 weeks ago and still stands true today. Warren Zevon, send lawyers, guns, and money because all the blank has hit the fan. Yeah, well, it's that song and really Werewolves of London for the late Mr. Zevon holds weight, doesn't it? It holds up. All right, coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. April Marie Fogle will join me. We'll talk about what's going on the college campuses around, which, by the way, local spin on that. John Sharp had reported that during the city council meeting, where they're discussing what we've been discussing about the future of Chief Prime, the investigations and all these things, a student from the University of South Alabama was talking about Gaza, I guess, maybe protesting Israel or something to that effect in there. So, not just at Columbia, not just at UT, not just at other, it was at least a student from USA. If there's any encampment going on. But we'll talk about that and more when we return right here on Midday Mobile.